one is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. And so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly. So was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets, he was born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of PalTalk.com and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are USA 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. Our direct lines are same area code 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. It is always a true honor to be with each and every one of you every week, and it's so exciting for me to present our next guest for this evening to each and every one of you. I have actually noticed a pattern that has actually been unfolding for the last couple of months, and I know that each and every one of you will want to stay very tuned in to this show, because once again, we have a great man that's going to share a lot of wisdom and knowledge that will not only enhance our spiritual growth, but take us to the very next level. So allow me to share a bit of information about our guest for this evening. His name is Dr. Michael Sharp, and he is a sociologist, mystic, and world teacher. He has written many books on spiritual topics ranging from ascension, the book of life, through chakra and kundalini activation, to the nature of God, the book of light, even the tarot as a tool of spiritual advancement. He will also talk about in great detail about what's happening in the supposed run-up to the big 2012 shift that everyone's been coming fixated on, what spiritual enlightenment is really all about, and how to attain full spiritual awakening and empowerment. He has written a wonderful and very insightful, powerful, but yet very simple to apply. The title of this book is called The Great Awakening, Concepts and Techniques for Successful Spiritual Practice is a Lightning Path Primer. So without further delay, please, let's all give our guest this evening a warm welcome to the show. Oh, I think we have just lost our guest on the radio, so give us just one moment, please, and we will get him right back on onto the line with us. But let me share further information with all of you while we are waiting for our guest to rejoin us this evening. And let me say this to everybody. You can always tell when you're going to have a powerful show with incredible empowerment techniques and tools that shared worldwide, because it'll always find a way to try to come in and keep us from receiving this great, great information. So I'd like to share a little bit more about the book that Michael has written, and it's called The Great Awakening. It's not a long book nor a complicated book, but it is an important book if you're going to navigate the early stages of your spiritual awakening process as safely and as effectively as possible. You need to know the concepts and tools in this book. With 2012 fast approaching, it seems everybody is talking about the great shift, the great awakening, the great transformation, the global return to Christ consciousness, crop circles, evolution, or whatever. In this intensifying buzz of information and vibration, it is becoming an increasingly difficult struggle to discern the truth. Ooh, I like that, Michael. And let me say that again. It's increasingly difficult struggle to discern the truth and determine what is needed to prepare yourselves and the ones you love. If you do find yourself concerned about 2012 or other spiritual or end time matters, don't worry. There is nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. The world is not ending and there will be no mass exit. However, the world is changing and consciousness is expanding, and there are things you need to know about expanding abilities and awareness if you are able to comfortably navigate and grow with the massive changes now occurring on this earth. So let's see if our guest has rejoined us. And Dr. Michael Sharp, are you with us at this time? So we still have a problem not having him. Okay, so we will have our technician work on this, on getting Michael back onto the show. So please bear with us. Okay, everybody, so hang in there with us. I do want to have more information to share with each of you tonight while we are waiting for Michael to return back to the show. But anyway, what I'd like to say to all of you is that you need, in order to successfully initiate and navigate the initial stages of your own personal spiritual awakening process, including an introduction to the right thinking and right spiritual practices. The Great Awakening consists of a collective of short essays on basic spiritual topics and techniques like breathing, grounding, visualization, and communicating with spirit, spiritual protection, and so on. And so with all of that said, I'm really excited about having Michael share with all of us this evening, because this is extremely powerful times for each and every one of you. And I have had many opportunities to speak to a lot of you one-on-one with each other. I have also observed many of you, your spiritual gifts have enhanced. You have been aware that many new guests have come in as well. We step out our doors. A lot of times we don't even have to step out of our doors any longer to know what is going on around us. It is, at times, it can become extremely confusing for all of us. I know it is for myself even. I sit sometimes and I wonder and ponder, am I on the right path? Have I done enough of with my own spiritual growth to evolve to the next level of my own ascension, my own awakening? So let's check in to see if we've got Michael with us at this time. Michael, are you with us? Hello? Okay, well, we still don't have a guest with us, so I'll keep talking, and hopefully we'll get our guest back onto the line, and I'll just keep talking about that, and maybe one of you will want to call in and talk with me directly. I have a lot of things that I'd like to share as well. So with that said, let's talk about what it's like in our world today. I wonder what that looks like in the 2012. Do you all feel that when we wake up on 2012 that our world is going to be different? Are we going to have a world full of love, peace, harmony, and support with each other? I know when I speak with the Ascended Masters, I do know that that's where we are all headed towards. And what's really interesting is that each of us, every day, even if we're consciously aware or not, that we are constantly raising our vibrations. We're constantly finding each other awakening worldwide. I think we might have our guest with us now. Michael, are you with us?
I'm here. Sorry about
that.
Well,
welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Where did you go?
I don't know. The phone disconnected, and then I call back, and then your tech guy called me, and then the phone disconnected again, and then we did it again, and the phone disconnected again, and so this is the fourth time I called in, and hoping we're good now.
But you know what, Michael? It gave me the great opportunity to share more wonderful information with our listeners. It gave me a chance to speak to all of them one-on-one. I don't have that opportunity a lot of times. So it was nice and very refreshing for me.
Oh, it worked out good then. Good.
On that note, welcome to the show. It is a real honor to have you with us.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be talking to you.
Well, the first question I would like to ask you, Michael, is let's talk about 2012. What does that look like? What is your thoughts on what our world will look like when that time comes?
You know, I'm not expecting a dramatic shift. Well, I am expecting a dramatic shift, but I don't really place it to that specific year. I don't think there's going to be mass exits, and I don't think we're going to have really significant global transformations at that point. I think that the kind of thing that we're all hoping for, you know, which is a rise in consciousness and a transformation of the globe and an end to poverty and all this other stuff, is kind of going to unfold. My timeline for that is about 20 years, you know, 25 years. For me, 2012 is just kind of, I wrote this, I can explain it like this maybe. I wrote this parable on my website, Parable of the Ship. And in this parable, there's two ships. There's this really old, decrepit ship, which is sinking, and nobody on the ship realizes it's sinking. And then there's this brand new, shiny ship falling just behind it. And for me, 2012 is kind of the date where the people on the old ship kind of look around and go, oh, the ship is sinking. and at that point, they look around, maybe get a little panicked, but, you know, people are going to be able to calm down. They don't know, there's a new ship right over there. And so 2012 is kind of the point where people really start to recognize, and not people like you and me and your audience who have a spiritual sensibility already, but the general population, you know, the masses of the population are going to kind of at that point start to realize that something really serious is going on.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we don't even have to walk out our front door anymore, and it's so apparent, you know, and I'm sure that you are probably a lot like me, as well as our listeners tonight, is that, you know, I can feel the energy and the shifts that are actually taking place. And, you know, personally, I know that starting in 2000, we were starting to have 8 light shifts per year, and it multiplied. So in 2008, we're literally going through 64 light shifts. So, but I do know that as we continue doing this, we have a rest period to allow us to integrate with this energy. So with all of that said, what is your thoughts on the urgency of more of our sisters and brothers awakening worldwide?
Well, I mean, I think it's urgent, but maybe not in the way that others think it's urgent. I mean, when I look at the world, I see 1.5 billion people are in poverty, you know, 16,000 children die every day out of preventable hunger. There's this costly war going on, and there's all this conflict and greed and all this other stuff, and all this stuff, it's bad, you know, it's not a good thing, and a lot of people are hurt on a daily basis because of it. So, you know, the urgency that I kind of feel when I'm talking about this stuff, or when I'm thinking about all this stuff, is it's an urgency in terms of kind of uplifting the planet and getting out of the muck that it's currently in. There's also an urgency for people, I think, in the sense that as the vibration of the planet rises, that this is going to, people are going to have a lot of pressure on people, partly awake or not awake or whatever, to begin kind of dealing with their issues. For me, this whole process is kind of it's a three-stage process, or it's a three-part process. There's an awakening component, which involves kind of getting back in touch with your higher self and your divinity and your consciousness. There's an empowerment part, which involves chakra activation and kundalini activation, and really just kind of, you know, stepping into the full creative power of your physical unit. And then after that, there's this ascension process. So as the vibration of the planet increases, there's going to be a lot of pressure on people to awaken. And some people are going to experience that great, you know, they're going to step right into that, but other people are going to resist out of fear, and these people, I think, are going to have a hard time in the next few years, just because, even if the resistance is futile kind of thing, right, you're going to wake up whether you want to or not.
Absolutely.
And better if you do it now, because the pressure is just going to get greater and greater and greater.
So let's recap this real quick then, Michael, because you said there were 3 steps or 3 phases that all of us would experience. Can you give us those 3 phases?
Yeah. So there's an awakening phase,
okay.
which is an awakening to, in my book, The Great Awakening, people are used to thinking of their body as a vehicle for the soul, right? So in this Great Awakening book, I talk about the body as a vehicle, and I use a water glass as a metaphor for the body. Like, you've got an empty water glass in your right hand. That is your physical body. In your left hand, you've got a jug of water, and the water inside is your consciousness. I say your full consciousness. Currently, we've got maybe about 10% of the consciousness in our vehicle. We're restricted. We're limited. In esoteric literature, they call this the veil, right? You're probably familiar with that term. We kind of got a veil on consciousness that prevents us from having more of our consciousness in the body. So the awakening part of this is a process of cleaning out the physical body. Like, if you think of your water glass now, it's kind of full of mud and muck and gunk and all this other stuff from all the negativity and violence and all this other stuff that we're subjected to in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes. And so awakening is kind of cleaning out that gunk and allowing consciousness. Come back
so that would be composed of what? Detoxing the physical body, changing the way we eat, eating actually more live food, and also feeding our bodies with proper natural herbs and those types of substance, and maybe doing other types of blood cleansing and so forth.
Well, sure, and exercise, of course, is important.
And exercise, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of it. Part of it is also, you know, if you think of who you are deep down inside, your consciousness, your soul. Your soul is a being of light, love, and power. Light, love, and power. I would say light, love, and power. And this being, when it takes a look at the world, kind of goes, well, it's kind of a messy. If you want me to come to the body, you got to clean it up, right? So it's not just about detoxing the body. It's about looking at the environment, too, and kind of, you know, if you're in relationships that hold you down, like, or they're really defensive, or they're violent, or they're toxic in some way. You know, there's that level of toxicity and clearing as well that you've got to deal with. If you've got childhood issues, you know, if you were, and a lot of us do. You know, I know I do. I was raised old enough to do the parenting back when I was back in my days isn't as good generally as the parenting is today. I don't think. So I have had childhood issues to deal with, and a lot of us do, right? So it's kind of dealing with whatever has been presented to you as part of your childhood. It is also a level of past life clearing as well. The body that you've got has a genetic link to past traumas, and so part of the healing process is connecting with those and processing and healing those too. So it's a big job, right? It's a lot of work for even a single person to do, and we're doing this at a level of 6 billion people. So it's
let me put this thought out there as well, then, Michael. So a lot of times when we personally, or maybe, you know, we wake up one morning and all of a sudden we're feeling anger and all these other types of emotions, a lot of times if we stand back and take a look at this, we're actually doing a clearing and a healing through a natural process. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't generally get up in the morning angry, but if you are experiencing those anger, I mean, my recommendation would always be to look for the root of that anger, right?
Right.
You want to step aside and step behind it and get above it, but you also want to look for the root of that anger, because whatever is causing that has to be dealt with and cleared, right? Otherwise, the anger still stays there. The body's kind of interesting, actually. You bring enough of your consciousness in there, there gets to be a point where you can kind of separate yourself from your body and ignore what's going on with your body, and you can be above that. And but I don't necessarily think that's a very healthy thing to do, because although your consciousness may have disconnected a bit from your body will still be dealing with those toxins. And in the long run, you know, those toxins will, I mean, they can cause nasty things like cancers and heart disease and all the other sorts of things that comes from, you know, living with that kind of anger or whatever.
Absolutely.
For a long period of time.
Well, I know that, you know, just by going to the etheric body, because that's where a lot of the records are held and the all the different experiences and emotions, that's where a lot of that is kept. I know that that has been extremely powerful for me on a very personal level. And so I'd like to hear your thoughts about that.
Can you be more specific?
Well, I guess what I'm looking for is some of the suggestions on when you're dealing with letting go of past life. Or are you thinking of doing past life regression or just going within the physical body to release it from there or through the etheric body?
I guess, you know, my recommendation would be whatever works. And I don't necessarily think that each modality is good for every person. I did a lot of clearing without, I don't know what you would call it, maybe it would have been going into the etheric body, but really dealing with the stuff in consciousness, right? But not everybody works that way, and some people may benefit from, you know, a good past life regressionist or whatever, you know, Reiki or whatever that particular healing modality is that you choose. I mean, and the only criteria is that you kind of be honest with yourself about whether it's working or not, and whether it's, you know, you are in fact dealing with the issues and clearing the stuff.
Right.
It's interesting. I was reading, I forget what the name of the therapy was, but where they actually they go into the physical body and they go into specific muscle. I don't know what it is. I'd have to look at it again. But they were releasing emotional difficulties just by dealing with muscle reflexes. in the body,
yes.
And stored energies and stuff like that, which I thought was quite fascinating. And they were making, they were having great progress with people. So.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, even the liver itself, if you can apply, you know, certain pressure points to the liver, you can let go of a lot of that stored up anger that's stored in the liver. But let's move on to the third phase and the Kundalini. So are you suggesting that each of us will have a Kundalini awakening? And if so, what is that going to look like for each person that begins that whole process of the Kundalini awakening?
Okay. Well, okay, so that's actually the second call. Awakening and then empowerment, the second phase would include Kundalini activation. So what how that works basically is you have, you know, your seven chakras, right, from root to crown, and the process of Kundalini awakening is a process of enlivening those chakras, clearing any issues or blockages which keep them closed, and for example, the your solar plexus chakra, the center of the will of the body, your power center, right? A lot of people can have a blockage there in terms of being afraid of power, you know, but maybe as a child, you know, every time you spoke up in class or whatever, you were put down by the teacher or something like that. I mean, there are things that, there are experiences that we can have that can block that chakra and that can make you very afraid of your power. And if you're afraid of that power, then that's blocked off. But
well, that was one of my major issues, Michael, is I was literally afraid of my own power, and I'm still working with that.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, in Dossier of Ascension, I talk about I connect this fear with past lives, with the destruction of Atlantis, and I think a lot of our fears with power are rooted in the Atlantis's destruction. You know, we had a very technologically sophisticated society, very powerful society. And it just kind of came crashing to an end. And I think a lot of us, there's kind of a genetic fear that's encoded that we have to deal with. And it's a very deep fear, you know, and it's been reinforced for thousands and thousands and thousands of years now. So it's definitely something you got to work on. But anyway, in terms of Kundalini activation, so you do this from crown to root, running through the chakras and clearing and getting them energetic, getting them working, and then when they are connected, when they're all working properly, then Kundalini activation occurs. And what that is, I see that as Kundalini is like a reservoir of energy, and it's this reservoir of energy which we have been storing since we were born, because that's, it's designed to store energy, is suddenly released. And you know, it's kind of like, I have a tarot card called Power, which it's on my website, tarot.michaelsharp.org. It's not up there yet, but anyway, the image shows somebody with full Kundalini release, and they're shown in this incredibly powerful image, you know, just sweeping energy over them, and that's basically what it is. And then that happens, and then it goes away, and you're done, and you kind of go on with your normal life. But it's this collective release of Kundalini energies, which is going to occur within set time frames, which is going to bring the third phase of this whole process, which is the ascension phase. And that's, you know, that's actually where they start talking about prophecy and the end times and all this other stuff. It's this third phase, which comes after the awakening and the empowerment that then we start talking about all that, the nice stuff that's going to happen.
Yes. Before we go any further, I'd like to welcome all the listeners that have come in to listen to the show tonight. Our show guest for this evening is author Dr. Michael Sharp. We are talking about a wonderful book that he has written called The Great Awakening, Concepts and Techniques for Successful Spiritual Practice. And I'd like to share the website with each of you as well, and that is michaelsharp.org. And that, once again, is michaelsharp.org. I'd also like to welcome all of you to my show page. I have a wealth of information about our guest for this evening, and also the book cover of his book that he has written for your convenience. And along with all the listeners, in Pal Talk, I have Dr. Sharp's website address listed there for your convenience as well. So let's go back real quick, Michael, to the awakening. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to the Kundalini, because I have someone that I know that is having a Kundalini awakening right now, and she's having a very difficult time with this awakening. So is there any suggestions that you could actually give to her on and helping her with the process?
Well, what sorts of difficulties is she having?
Anxiety, along with feeling like she's going crazy, which we already know she's not. But those are the two main elements right now for her.
Oh, well, relax, I guess, is the advice. You know, you're not going crazy, and you won't be surprised, hopefully, to hear that I hear that a lot. People will come to the website or contact me, or we've got some forums that we run, and, you know, a question that gets asked every once in a while is, geez, I feel like I'm going crazy. You're not, right? What is happening is that you're starting to get in touch with realities and sensibilities and sensations, and that you just, you know, your body is not used to. It's kind of like being blind and then all of a sudden opening your eyes. The actual, in this process of the awakening, the eye opening, it progresses over a period of days or weeks, but it's still the same thing, right? It's still a rather dramatic opening of your eyes. And as long as you can kind of control your anxiety and control any fear that comes up and stuff like that, and deep breathe, I mean, always get into regular deep breathing practice, then you should be okay, right? And it gets easier.
Absolutely.
As time passes on.
Well, and there's so much out there that has created a lot of fear about the Kundalini arising. And so I was with the hope of breaking down some of those messages that has been put out there. I mean, I know that, you know, it's not anything to be messing with as well. But as I feel, when the Kundalini awakens naturally, it's a matter of us understanding and allowing ourselves to go with the process of it and to fully understand it. And there really isn't a lot of information out there that really gives you some deep insight on the process of how to help yourself, which I find your book really helps tremendously.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of the information out there is fear-based, I think. I don't know, maybe some people see somebody else have a difficult Kundalini experience and then they develop a website and say it's scary stuff, you know. But you're right. When it's a natural process and when it occurs as part of a kind of a process of awakening and empowerment, it doesn't need to be difficult, right? And it can actually be kind of a neat experience if you embrace it.
Absolutely. I'd like to take a moment, if I may, to read you some of the comments from the listeners. And Spider500 says, negative emotions do actually stimulate the body to produce toxins. Would you like to make a comment on that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I think,
okay.
I mean, you don't even have to be experiencing the negative emotions. You can store the conflicts, and they can become... The brain does something called imprinting, right? And memories are literally imprinted into specific locations in your brain. So you can imprint these negative energies, and they become, even though they're not part of your consciousness, they become part of your unconsciousness. And this can lead to the creation of internal toxins, right? Not to detract from the fact that sometimes toxins are often toxins are external, but absolutely, you know.
Yes.
And I wouldn't
know.
Argue against having a negative emotion or anger or anything like that. If you're angry, express it, but... Anger—it's kind of a, you know, a throat chakra thing. You find a positive way to express your anger, right? In a way that deals with the problem, get things done, and then you move on from there. But you don't start, and you don't, you know, re-experience. You process them as quickly as possible, and then release. Right? So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, I just recently learned myself that it takes 40 positive statements to clear one negative statement. And I sat back and went, whoa, it takes 40 positive statements to clear one negative statement that has been made. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my goodness, I better watch what I say and do from this moment on, because I mean, it takes 40 of them. Can you just imagine? You'd be spending all day trying to clear, you know, do the 40 just to clear that one negative statement. But I do have some more comments I'd like to read to you. And Free Child says, cleansing needs to be done on all levels, soul, spirit, mind, and physical. And I would agree. What do you feel?
My focus is kind of on the physical unit and clearing the physical level. I don't really... Your soul is your soul. It's light. It's like bright like the sun. It's not really touched in a profound way by the experiences on this earth. The difficulty is the body, the physical body, which needs to be cleansed. And they're quoted in Revelation, as much as I don't generally quote the Bible, but blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may enter into the kingdom by the gate or something like that. And it's basically, I read that as a blessed are those who kind of deal with the physical body and the external parts so that consciousness can enter and they can enter into the gate. And so, you know, for me, it's mostly a process of fixing up the physical body and bringing it to a position where it is, where it's psychologically healthy, where it's physically healthy, where it's emotionally healthy, where it can accommodate the bright, powerful light of consciousness without breaking down, you know. And I think a really unhealthy body, a body that has experienced a lot of childhood trauma, a body that has experienced a lot of poverty, some of these other things, or even a rich person who's experienced the violence that can happen in the corporate world and stuff like that, these damage the physical unit in a way that makes it difficult for consciousness to enter into the body. And so the work is fixing up the body so that consciousness can come in. If you do that, then as you do that, more consciousness comes in, and as more consciousness comes in, you start to get a little brighter because your body is reflecting more of your higher self, and that makes fixing things up better and easier. And, you know, so it's kind of this exponential process. But it starts with looking at psychological, physical, emotional health of the body.
Yes. I personally have been dedicated for the past year and a half of, you know, doing a lot of clearing myself. And I know I have so much more to go. But I have personally noticed the more I've let go, I've, you know, one, dropped weight. Number two, as I notice my skin tone has changed, I seem to, you know, when I can look at myself in the mirror in the morning, I notice that there's a glow. Even my cells seem to glow as well. And
sure,
I'm seeing physical changes actually taking place. And the more I witness this within my own self, I get very excited for the next step for my own self-healing. And that's why I was really excited about having you on the show as well, because as I started researching your work, I went, wow, this man really does know what he's doing. Before I go any further, I'd still like to share once again the title of this great book is called The Great Awakening, Concepts and Techniques for a Successful Spiritual Practice, well written, I would say, by Dr. Michael Sharp, and his website is michaelsharp.org. And you can also find that information on my show page. It'll stay posted for a while, so if you're not able to get to it right away, it'll be up there for the next 4 days for you to explore as well. Let's go back, Michael, if we may, and talk a little bit more about the awakening.
Sure.
And I know that I personally have noticed and witnessed a lot of the people that I communicate with on a daily basis are expressing to me new spiritual gifts coming in, or the gifts that they've already had in place have been enhanced. So is this all part of that awakening?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that, part of it is the rise in vibration in the planet. I wrote this, one of the first books I wrote was The Book of Life, and in that book, as part of this awakening empowerment process, what happens is, you know, your body is an energy device. we've known this for thousands of years. The Chinese acupuncture, they treat the body like an energy device with thousands of nodes, energy nodes. The Hindus have identified the seven major chakras. So you've got this physical body that is literally an energy device. I mean, it's a matrix unto itself. But because of our socialization, because of our past life traumas and all the nonsense that's gone on this earth, it tends to be very blocked up, right? So part of the awakening empowerment is the freeing. And so you're talking about releasing blocks. As you do that, this frees up energy in your body that was formerly repressed or directed inwards, and this becomes available for things like a regeneration, you know, that healthy glow that you experience, you know, an increase in metabolism, all the other great things that give you a healthy body and mind. So there's this energy release going on, right? And it's happening at a very kind of gentle pace. It's not really happening as fast as it's going to happen in a few years. But even so, even as you raise your vibration and as you become this powerful energy matrix, you're having an effect on those around you, and everybody that's doing this is kind of gently kind of lifting the energy on the earth. And as we do that, as we lift that energy, the chakras, the bodily energy systems of other people who are even very blocked up are going to start to spontaneously release. And as that happens, this is what you're going to see, is you're going to see, you know, people all of a sudden are going to have these psychic abilities, or all of a sudden they're going to be having almost visionary experiences. All of a sudden they're going to be dealing with profound childhood trauma. You know, suddenly all these things will start happening. And it's, you know, like you say, it's going to be very dramatic and sudden and totally, it seems, without cause, right? But really the cause is the people who are waking up and freeing, and the energy that's being placed into the environment is creating this atmosphere that is supporting this more and more. Right.
Absolutely. I'd like to share more of our comments from the listeners. And Terry says, a positive attitude lifts the spirit and allows more energy to flow in. Well said, Terry. Thank you for that. And Spider once again says, getting rid of all the stuck negative stuff is always good for everyone. I agree with that as well, and I'm sure you do. Valerie says, attitude, a false peace. And so I want to thank all our listeners tonight for your comments. I will scroll back in and check for other comments as well. I just love all my listeners, and they're very, very smart individuals and very dedicated to their own spiritual growth. And so we have a lot of listeners tuned into your show tonight. Isn't that great, Michael?
That is great. Yeah, it makes the weather here tolerable.
Absolutely. I wanted to share this with our listeners tonight because when I read this, I was really, really impressed with that. But yet, and I'll get to that in just a moment. And here you say, my purpose in life, my goal, my mission, my promise is nothing less than your total spiritual awakening and empowerment. And this is not in some distant future after you've struggled, paid your dues, or clawed your way out of darkness, but right here and in right now. No compromises, no complicated language, no beating around the bush, and no problem. I'm not a very patient man, as I'm never satisfied with half measures. The lighting flash of divine inspiration is what I am aiming for with my work. That's really a very profound statement to make.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and I'm serious about it.
I know you are, and that's why I wanted to share it, because you're so right. It's time to stop all the struggling, paying the dues, and clawing our way out. And all of those things, don't you agree?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of my pet peeves with a lot of spiritual teachings out there is they often give you a song and dance about how long and difficult and, you know, drawn out and multiple lifetimes this process is. You know, maybe if you're lucky, you'll get reborn a little bit higher in the next life, or more likely than not, you just kind of make some dumb mistake and be reborn as a slug or something, right? And it'll take you forever. to get. And then, of course, in some religions, you may not even take forever. I mean, you may only get one chance, and then if you're out and toss it in the trash, but kind of thing. But I don't believe that. You know, my personal experience has, and I'm 40, well, I'm 35. You know, I'm a little bit older. And my personal experience has been the awakening and the empowerment. This can happen really very quickly, you know. And what really all that's required is, you know, you keep an open heart and an open mind about this. You're ready to maybe put aside some misconceptions or preconceptions that you have that are kind of holding you back. You deal with any fears that you might have, because fear is a big process or a big problem when it comes to spirituality. A lot of us, I know I was raised Catholic, are raised with some pretty intense fears about God and hell and damnation and even karma and all this other stuff. So,
yes,
but,
absolutely.
You know, given the right kind of conditions and the right guidance, you can move from being basically comatose and energetically impotent to being very awake. I wouldn't say fully awake, because I think being fully awake is going to be something that happens after the ascension. But being much more awake than we are now and much more empowered than we are now and really kind of coasting through the changes and drawing the things that we need and being helpful to the others, because it's going to be a difficult process and it's going to happen fast and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to need help. And so we, you know, the people who you kind of hear this message right now have to be on the ball, right? We have to get our stuff together,
yes,
because we're going to be needed starting now basically, right? So it's going to, you know, and this is going to accelerate. So.
Absolutely. And that's why I've been really dedicated on my own self-healing to be able to be the best instrument, be of service to all my sisters and brothers worldwide, and I have a real deep passion to be of service. But I knew that, you know, I had to start with me first, and it doesn't mean that I'm not reaching out and helping now, but as I grow stronger and more peace within myself, I'm able to help a whole lot more.
Well, that's right, and I think you're more empowered to do that, and, you know, more of the things that you need to do that will come to you. I mean, I think there's still a lot of resistance out there, because not everybody in the world wants people to wake up and be spiritually free. But yeah, absolutely, start with yourself, and I think as you awaken and as you do all that clearing, as you heal yourself, it's almost a natural response for you to step into a service role and to start saying, "Well, I want to do something to help out here. Like, what can I do?" And that's a great thing. And I think there's a bunch of us around the world now who are really starting to step into that in a very direct way, right? And are going to be available as time, you know, the next few years to help out as people really need that.
Let me read some other comments from the listeners. And Cooley says, "Break down the barriers of fear through enlightenment. Piece by piece works. It's a process that needs to be shared and voiced." I want to thank you for that comment as well. Let me see if I have any more. I always try to make sure that I honor all my listeners by their sharing with all of us as well. But, you know, Michael, let's have you share with all the listeners tonight, because you've written many books. I'd like to know the titles of your other books, if you would, and maybe some of the events that you will be having in the very near future for us to all look out for.
Okay. Well, the first book I wrote was The Song of Creation, and that's basically a new story of Genesis. It's the complete a replacement account for the traditional Genesis, which takes us from the beginning through the unfolding of the universe and down into this ascension drama that we're doing now and past that. And it's written as an epic poem, which is funny because when I started to do this stuff, I had never written a poem in my life. You know, I'm an academic. I write dry, boring academic stuff. And here all of a sudden I wrote a poem. And then I wrote this book of life, Ascension and the Divine World Order, and that book is primarily about the ascension. And that was written in 2003, and that talks about the nature of the ascension, the energetic nature of that, the nature of time, some of the difficulties that people are going to experience, and it's generally just this is what's happening on the planet Earth kind of thing. After that, I wrote the Book of Light, The Nature of God, The Structure of Consciousness. After that, I wrote Dossi of Ascension, which is a chakra and kundalini activation book. And it gives you a meditation that it can help you activate your chakras, and it walks you through in great detail the kinds of fears that might come up and issues that might come up, so that you can kind of be empowered to identify those and clear those. After that, I wrote the Book of Light, The Nature of God, The Structure of Consciousness, and the Universe Within You. And that's basically a cosmology. It's, you know, you ask yourself the big questions, like, what is the nature of God? What's the nature of creation? What's my purpose for creation? You know, all these big questions are answered in this book. It's not a very long book. I think it's only 140 pages. After that, I wrote the Book of the Triumph of Spirit, which is a tarot book. It's a new tarot deck and a tarot book. And it's got a bunch of new tarot images and new tarot names. For example, I renamed the Fool card. I renamed that to Joyful. And I renamed the Judgment card to Calling. And I renamed the Death card to Initiation. And I renamed the Tower card to Power. And there's a bunch of really powerful images. And I would say positive, like very positive tarot images. You know, a lot of what I would call the old deck has a lot of negative imagery in it, like death and judgment and the Fool and some of this other stuff. I've just kind of cleared that out and presented a new deck. And then after that, I wrote The Great Awakening, which is the book that I would recommend people read first, but it's the last book I read. And it was like I put all these other books in place first before I wrote the introduction, and now the introduction's there. So there are these six books, which I call Lightning Path Core, which basically provide you with an entirely revised set of archetypes, an entirely revised set of spiritual concepts that are positive, and there's any of the judgment, damnation, or hierarchy that you find in some of the traditional systems. Really, it's a cleansing package for your physical body, right, that you can use to kind of start working through this process. And those are the six books. And I'm working on three more right now. The Book of Magic, which is, it's going to be a multi-volume, and it's a book on channeling and direct communication to spirit. There's Volume 2 of the Book of Light, which picks up where the Book of Light Volume 1 left off. And there's the Black Book, which is a kind of an account of the energy suppression system of the planet, but that one's not, you know, probably not until 2011 is that coming out. Yeah, I've been busy.
Wow, that's you've done really great things. I really went and explored your website, and I really commend you for all the great works that you're out there doing. I mean, you're really doing it, and that's very refreshing to see that. And you've got a lot going on, Michael. I sit here and wonder, where do you find the time? But you always seem to have that energy, though. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very much a mission for me and a passion. So it's very energizing when I do this. And it's funny, I'm very efficient at it. You know, like I'm trying to learn piano, and it's a real struggle for me to learn piano. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of time. But when I sit down and write the spiritual stuff and start doing this stuff, it's very quick. You know, it's just like write a book in 6 months, basically, and of an hour and a half a day. So it's not really an intense amount of effort or time. It just seems to flow very naturally most of the time, right? So it looks like I've spent a lot of time, and I have, but it's more impressive than it is actually, because a lot of it's very, very straightforward.
I understand what you're saying. Oh, well, we've only got about a minute left for the show. Can you believe it, Michael? We're already at the end of the show, and it's been a real honor and a pleasure to have you. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to share your last thoughts with our listeners on their own spiritual growth, and before we say goodnight.
Oh, embrace it. You know, don't be afraid. If you have fears, talk about those fears. Don't feel like you're going crazy. You know, just embrace it. It can be a bit choppy and jumpy at the beginning, but once you get the hang of it, you know, it becomes second nature to you. It's a very natural process. And even though there can be work involved in terms of clearing and dealing with issues and fixing things up, it very quickly becomes a joyous thing, because you can see the progress you're making, and you can feel it, and you know that you're returning to a place that is much better than the place that you're leaving.
Well, real quick, you have many thumbs up. A lot of the listeners are are actually thanking you and wishing you well on your own personal journey, and also for coming and sharing with all of us. They are sending you Creator's blessings to you as well, Michael. It has been truly an honor, and I'd like to invite you once again to come back and join the show with us. I know you have so much more to share with all of us. And so on that note, I'm going to say goodnight to you. And I want to remind all our listeners, remember, you are the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. I love each and every one of you with all my heart. Be well to all, love your families, and many blessings to all. Good night.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. And so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me.